Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to go before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. You know, we have been on the air just going on about 7 years, and some of you have been with me from the beginning, and for that I say thank you. I thank God for allowing me to be able to bring the Word of God to His people. You know, there's so much going on in the world today. I can't even imagine how people who have not decided to follow Christ, I don't see how they make it in this world. But I guess the things of the world that we see because of the evil, they are a part of it, and it's okay. And I'm not saying everybody who haven't accepted Christ is just outright evil. But they evidently is not thinking about their eternal life. So we have to be prayerful. We have to stay on the battlefield for the Lord. We have to pray for one another and give encouragement to one another. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 16th through the 26th verse. And the title of our lesson is Your Fruit Allows Others to Know Who You Belong To. You know, there's plenty of people going around, you know, and they stick out their chest. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But if you're doing what God has told you to do, and you allow the Holy Spirit to work the fruits that He has brought and empowered you with to operate in your lives, you don't have to tell them. Because it was somewhere in the Bible, and I think it's James, and it says, show me your works, and I'll know your faith. And then someone else said, if I see your faith, I'll see your works. So we have to be conscious. We are being read by people daily. Many people don't read the Bible, but you know it's always been said they won't read the Bible, but they'll read you. And you have to be careful how you represent God. You say you're His child. You say He's your Lord and Master. You thank Him for His Son. You thank Him for His Spirit. And what evidence can be seen in your life to let others know who you belong to? So what I'm going to do is play a song. And our sister in Christ, Sister Maddie, who selects the songs for me, she had two different songs tonight. And I was led to this song about change. So I called her up, and she agreed that it would be good for tonight. So listen at this song, because it's talking about change. You know, even though we may be doing, you know, decently with the things of God, there's always room for change. There's always room for growth. And if you get satisfied just where you're at, you're going to miss the mark, because it's a process. It's a journey. And every day there's newness. Every day God has something new for you to do for him. Every day there's new teaching and new knowledge to receive. And that's how we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to play this song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have prayer. Rasta called, and we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to go into the lesson. Listen to the words of this song and be blessed.
Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Watch me through. Create a clean. Remember this? Has come home.
that's Tamla Mann.
What are you doing with the Johnson sofa?
Well, I had a night break.
I wonder how many of us really think we need to be changed more and more like God. You know, when God created man, he said he was going to make him in his own image. And the Bible teaches us that God is working in and through us, that we can take on the image of his son. He didn't say take on his son, but take on the image. So you have to ask yourself, what image are you portraying? And tonight our lesson, because so many more people than call, is your fruit allows others to know who you belong to. It's coming from Galatians 5, 16 and 26. At this time, Sister Pam, can you press the one button on your phone so I can open your mic? Sister Pam is our sister that has been compiling our prayer list. And we started last year, and she did it on her own. You know, the names that was being given, she wrote them down, and she, you know, keep the names. And she pray over the names on a regular basis. And I said that I would let the names be called out the first of the month. So today is the first day of the month. Sister Pam is going to read the names, and she's going to bring us to the throne of grace. Sister Pam, you can start whatever way you want.
Okay, good evening, everybody. First, I would like to ask everybody that before I read the list, I hope and pray that everybody had been praying for the people that's on this list. I know you're not going to remember the names, but if you could just ask the Lord to pray for the people that's on the prayer list for the Bible study on Wednesday night, I'm sure he'll know who you are, who they are. Okay. Kathy and Jimmy Hartman, Alex Moore, Stephen Nguyen, Esther Lucas, who's 95 years old, Mary McMillan, Derek McBride, Dustin and Diane McBride. That's the McBride family. Mary Hughes, Gladys Phillips, Cedric Edwards, deceased, June Williams, Lance Brown, Georgiana Prevost, the Martin family, Arthur DeLone, Sister Janice family, Tyrone Hems family, Willie and Kathy Foxworth and family, Corinne Davis, Sandra Bridges and family, Sir Diane Adams and family, Tammy Ditto, Verlene Garrett, Patrice Hernandez, Jacqueline Nichols, Paula Anthony, Maddie Lala and family, Morris Janet, the Oliver family, Brenda Pierre, a childhood friend of Sister Diane, and Darrett Olive. Lord, we thank you tonight for life and giving us the opportunity to be present for another Wednesday night Bible study. Coming together in unity to hear your word that's being delivered by your servant, Sister Diane Adams, our blessed and anointed sister. Lord, we thank you for Sister Diane on tonight. We pray that you, Lord Jesus Christ, to continue to crown her head with the wisdom and the knowledge from above. Lord, we are grateful for all that you have done for us and all that you are still going to do. Please continue, Lord, blessing this radio station and all the listeners near and afar. Lord, I ask that you continue allowing this radio station and our Bible study to grow and to go forward in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God.
Sister Pam, I thank you so much. I thank you for being one of the intercessors for this program. I thank you for answering the call that God has given you to do. And I pray God's blessing upon you. And as she was reading the list, somebody has died. And there may be some praise reports for the people. So if, you know, if you gave some of the names and, you know, they had praise reports and maybe someone else died, we could alter our list. But we're going to keep praying for these people because they asked the Monday, the Wednesday night Bible study for prayer. So it is our obligation, not just Sister Pam, not just me, but each and every one of us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you so much again, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
And God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, we're about to get into the lesson. Always I do a background. And I want you to know that the background tonight is on the Holy Ghost. The title of the lesson is The Fruit. And we know that the fruits are brought to each and every one of us. When we accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came living inside of us, and he brought these virtues, these nine virtues, which is called the fruit of the Spirit. So I couldn't talk about the fruit of the Spirit without talking about the one who delivered them in us. So tonight, the background is the Holy Spirit. There are many misconceptions about the identity of the Holy Spirit. Some view the Holy Spirit as a mythical force. Others understand the Holy Spirit as an impersonal power that God makes available to the followers of Christ. What does the Bible really say about the identity of the Holy Spirit? The Bible simply put it, it declares that the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And I might say Holy Ghost and I might say Holy Spirit. Both of them are proper and both of them are correct. So somebody may be wondering why they say Holy Ghost and some people say Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, a being with a mind, emotions, and a will. You know, sometime in the past, I've asked y'all, do you ever talk to the Holy Ghost? Just like you talk to God the Father and talk to Jesus the Son, do you ever talk to the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the one that Jesus left to dwell inside of us, that inside of us, working inside of us to make that change, as that record say, in our lives. You know, the Holy Ghost is a person, and we have to respect him and treat him as one. You know, if you do it, watch what happens in your relationship. You see, with limited knowledge about the Holy Spirit, one might believe that the Holy Spirit didn't operate until Jesus left. I thought that for it was a long time ago, because, you know, that's when the Holy Spirit got dispersed, when Jesus left, because Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, and I'm going to leave you someone that'll teach you and guide you, he said, and the Holy Spirit is going to do everything for you that I would have did if I was still there. So respect him, speak to him, call his name, and don't go around and say something told me not to do this or something told me this. It's not a something. It's the Holy Spirit, and he's real. You see, but when we start with the Bible, we get the proof that the Holy Spirit just didn't appear when Jesus left. Because in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it says before creation ever began, we see that the scripture reads, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. See, this is letting us know the Holy Spirit has been around all the time. We can also know that the Holy Spirit is God because he possesses the same characteristics of God. The Holy Ghost is all-knowing everywhere at the same time, and he has power. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, you know, so you have to watch how you treat him. You know, because he's living inside of us, doing the work that is necessary for us to live a better righteous life. He intercedes for us and makes decisions for us according to his will. He is our comforter and our counselor and our teacher. The Spirit then is a light to us. And you see, the light that he do, he's shining a light in our lives that we could be made better and we could be shaped into our intended purpose. But you got to cooperate with him. You see, what he does, he exposes our guilt by illuminating the word of God. And he is showing us who Christ is. You know, if I put it another way, I could say that the Holy Spirit is a divine light working to reveal sin, to reveal the truth, and to reveal God's glory. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, the Holy Spirit also does work among unbelievers. You see, Jesus promised that he would send a Holy Ghost to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, the Spirit testifies of Jesus pointing people to the Lord. The Holy Spirit's job is to deliver the summons that God has given. God said it is his will that all sorts of men be saved. And the Holy Ghost is the one that received the summon. And the Holy Spirit is taking that summon and giving invitations to unbelievers to receive Christ. If they never accept the Holy Spirit, it is called blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. This is the only, people, the only unpardonable sin, the state of continued unbelief. So you see, Sister Diane, what you're talking about? I just told you that God wants everybody to be saved. He gave the Holy Ghost to bring the invitations. Every time the Holy Ghost knocks on the doors of your heart, and you harden your heart, and you don't receive the invitation, which is the invitation to become a child of God, accept Jesus Christ, and have a Savior, that means you never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now, we know that there's no other Savior besides Jesus Christ. So if you don't accept Jesus Christ, then you don't have a Savior. And if you don't have a Savior, you cannot save yourself. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what you got. I don't care where you've been. You cannot save yourself. And as I say all the time, if you could have saved yourself, or if any man or woman or child could have saved themselves, then everybody would have to use what they use to save themselves. But there was no way we could do it. That's why God sent his son. And if you could save yourself, God could have saved his son's life. You see, the Spirit currently convicts the unsaved world And he also convicts the saved people, the Christians, about your conduct, what you're doing, how you're doing, why you're doing, or what you're not doing, and why you're not doing it, and constantly telling you that you should. You see, the Holy Ghost is a person. And you have to learn to cooperate with the Spirit. So if I say the Holy Spirit, you know, you might know that the Holy Spirit is your teacher. What is he teaching you? He's teaching you the things of God. He's showing you God's glory. He's revealing the Son in his truest form to you, that you may respect, show reverence, follow, and do what God wants us to do. So we have to be careful how we treat the Holy Ghost. And we have to realize that the Holy Ghost is only looking out for your best interest. He's the one that's living inside of you. He's the one that's guiding you and protecting you. He's the one that has sealed you and hold you till Jesus come back again. When you accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost sealed you until the day of redemption. And by sealing you, he also is protecting you. You know, the Holy Ghost is the one that wherever he guides, he's the one that also provides. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. The Holy Ghost. And the Bible tell you how important it is. If you go to your Bible tonight and go to Matthew 12 and 33, well, I'll start at 31. Therefore, I say unto you, this Jesus, all manner of sin and blaspheme shall be forgiven unto man. But the blaspheme against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto man. 32. And whosoever speak a word against the Son of God, it shall be forgiven him. This scripture, y'all. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The Holy Ghost is important. The Holy Ghost is real. They say the Holy Ghost teaches us what to pray for we know not what to pray for. You see, if we give the Spirit more control of our lives, he'll begin to do in and through us what only he can do to shape us and grow us to look like Jesus, the image of the Son, so that we can accomplish our intended purpose. You know, God has an intended purpose for everyone. And he didn't just say, oh, I have this intended purpose for this one or for that one. He has an intended purpose for everyone. And he know you just couldn't achieve it on yourself. Because you see, you got to be worked from the inside outside. So he put the Holy Ghost inside of us to help us to reach our intended purpose. Cooperate with him, y'all. That's our background for tonight, and we're going into the scriptures. For those who have their Bibles, you know we're in Galatians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start at the 16th verse, and I'm going to read all the way down to the 21st verse. And the scripture reads as follows. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. That's almost remind me when I read that about Paul. Paul said, every time I want to do what I need to do, I find myself doing what I shouldn't do. You know, that's what this scripture is saying. You know, the flesh against the spirit, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. He's telling you it's real, y'all. 18, but if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emaculation, wrath, strife, seduction, heresy, 21, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to start off before I go and explain in the lesson to let you know it is not saying that anybody commit adultery is going to die and go to hell. We just said earlier that the only unpardonable sin is blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. That's the only thing you can't be forgiven, because you never accepted him. How can you get forgiveness from Jesus Christ, who take away the sins of the world, if you never accepted him as your Savior? So that means you don't have a Savior. You don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you don't have nothing to take away your sins. So you will die in all of your sins, and you will go to hell. So when you see these words here, I'm going to break it up a little bit more for you. Because they say idolatry, you know what that is, and witchcraft and hatred and that. All of these things, murderers, you know, drunkenness. It's not saying anybody get drunk is not going to get to the kingdom of God. So let me break it down a little bit. You see, Paul is letting us know that there's a spiritual war taking place in our lives each day. The war with the spirit against the flesh. But those who have accepted Christ as their Savior have help, because Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. You see, when we accepted Christ, we could never be righteous enough. That's why we were separated from God. But what happened when Christ died for our sins, the righteousness of God, he extended towards us. Hallelujah. And he did it, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He does not say here that there shall be no flesh, or any lust of the flesh in them that walk spiritually. What are you saying? He's not saying that those who accept Christ and walking in a spiritual walk is not going to do some of these things. Let's keep up. Or that the flesh should not act and operate in them. That flesh will not act and operate in them. Talking about the believers. Or that they should do no more sinful action. You know, the Bible tells us we all fall short. And you know what they say, fall short of, so we don't use this for when we commit sin. We fall short of the righteousness of God. We could never achieve it. God extended his righteousness towards us. So when we fall short, we fall short. And we are so short that we could never be righteous on our own. So God extended his righteousness towards us through his Son and by his grace. You see, because if there was the thing that people say, if the flesh wasn't going to operate and you wasn't going to do more sins, all of which is only true of Christ. And we are trying to get Christians to look at these things and begin to turn away from them. That's why so many people could stand up and shout on a building, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. But I come to tell you tonight, there are other things that you may be doing that you should be working on and try to grow in. You see, you know, talking about Christians are spiritual, but that they should not fulfill. This is what the scripture is saying. You should not fulfill or perfect the lust of the flesh. You know, that's people who in sin and they try to find a way to perfect it. You know, if you are a Christian and the Holy Ghost is in you and he brought the fruit of the Spirit, even if you ain't the maturest Christian, because the Holy Ghost is convicting, you know, you're going to turn away from something. He's saying don't try to perfect it. That's walking after the flesh. They say we should not give up ourselves entirely to the power and dictates of the flesh so as to be under it and at its command and be obedient servants and slaves unto it. For in this sense only, such that are spiritual will do not. They do not make a trade of it. You know, get educated on it more. A trade. You know, you go and get a trade and you get perfected about doing something. He said you should not make a trade of it. It is not their constant employ or course of action. That's what the scripture is saying. It's also talking about people who do these things and say with their lips that they're saved but never accepted the power thereof and never gave God their heart. They may continue to do these things over and over and over, but what it's saying, they probably, not probably, well, they may not truly be saved. You see, we all fall short, but if we cooperate with the Spirit, which is our present help, he will allow the work of the Spirit to control our lives. See what the scripture is saying, the works of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. You know, and the title of our lesson is your fruit will say who you truly belong to. You know, it's who controlling you. What stop you from doing the things that you know in your heart God wants us to do? And maybe you haven't did them in so long, and yet you are saved. But you might not do them, and you haven't did them in so long till it then became comfortable. You don't even think about, you know, trying to do this to be better for God. You just do what you want to do, and you expect God to accept it. You do what you want to do, and you want God to make emergency of your, to make your emergency his urgency. And I'm not talking about being perfect, but there are some simple things. The first thing is we should be growing in grace. And I'm going to tell you this, if you never read the Bible again in your life, if you never go to church or you never go to teaching in your life, God is still going to be God. you're reading the Bible, or you're going to church, or you studying, or you helping the sick, or you doing anything. It's not that God needs you in the first place, because he's in control. And second of all, it does not make God no more God. And it can't make you, you know, the things you do don't make God love you no more than he already does. But it's for you. It's for you. Believe me, babies, it's for you. He wants us to know that there's the contrast between a spirit and a filled Christian, a spirit-filled Christian and a disobedient Christian. That's what he's showing you. You see, the contrast is what Paul says here. To be led by the Spirit is not to be under the law. In Paul's theology, the law and spirit are two realms, two atmospheres of existence. To be under the law is to be unsaved. Because you see, the law told you, do this, do this, do this, do this, and it's going to make you good. But that didn't work. We know it didn't work. And after we, Jesus came and died on the cross, the law was obsolete. It was no more necessary. And the law was never intended to be able, if someone did all 613 laws, that they would be saved. Because the law couldn't take away sins. It could only cover sins. Hallelujah. And the thing about this flesh, you see, the flesh of the believers, watch this, is just as foul as the flesh of unbelievers. I'm telling you, there ain't no grades of flesh. Flesh is just represent the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the definition of the world. It's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's flesh, worldly. So if you haven't accepted Jesus, that's still the flesh. If you have accepted Jesus, the flesh still takes on its same characteristics. How you like that? You see, the sin capacity of the believer never gets better. God never regenerates it. We cannot refine it. I'm talking about flesh, y'all. It never improves. God never blesses it. Our flesh is exactly the same as an unsaved person, and it craves and do and try to get its way. God will have nothing to do with it. You better not ignore the power of the flesh in our lives. When God saves a sinner, he imparts, this is where we at, y'all, and this is what we have, and this is what God has given us. The next verse is coming up, and with the title of the lesson say, when God saves a sinner, he imparts a brand new nature to him, which he never had before, born again. Not a spirit is in you. And look what it says, and you cannot lose it. We can no more lose the new nature than we can lose the flesh. Hallelujah, once saved, always saved. We cannot lose either one of them. We keep the flesh until we see the Savior. Hallelujah, when the rapture comes, because we're going to take off the corruptible bodies and put on the incorruptible. And what makes it corruptible? The flesh. When somebody die and go in the grave, the first thing to leave is the flesh, which is corruptible. Then he will remove it from us forever. It would be wonderful if there was no more flesh. But Scripture does not teach that doctrine. Naturally, the flesh should become increasingly subdued as the believer mature in his or her faith and learn by grace to walk in the Spirit. That's the best you could do with flesh. You could subdue it. The Holy Ghost has given you the power to say no. Will the flesh win the battle all the time? No. Will the spirit win the battle all the time? No. Sometimes the flesh wins, and sometimes the spirit wins. But I pray that we grow and we're able to win more of the spirit than allow the flesh to have any place in us. There is no escape, no escape. The need for all of us depend wholly, directly, only on God's grace to live as more conquerors. And every time we read the word of God and teach the word of God, it's all saying, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do that. But it's God that's working in us. So we could just sit back and look and say, what's our part? You have to submit. You got to let him have his way with your life. And I'm going to read the rest of the scriptures, 22 to 26. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now he's telling you there ain't no more law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The scripture goes on to say in 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be devious or vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. And, you know, when I decided to do this with the fruit of the Spirit, it came to me. And that scripture I just read, you know, just gave me illumination. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, you say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So you might say, how do you walk? You know, that verse before that told us. It say, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Holy Ghost brought the fruit of the Spirit. It was a package. When he came to indwell inside of you, he brought the package. The package is in you. Okay, so it's there. The Holy Ghost is constantly working with this package on each and every one of us individually to get us where God wants us to be. Now, if the Holy Ghost is doing his job and the Holy Ghost going to do his thing, you ain't got to guess about God, the Son, or the Holy Ghost because they're perfect. So the Holy Ghost is doing everything he can with that package of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this is the thing. The Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is living inside of you, but are you walking in it? And I want you to know the Bible, in the Bible, because when I first read it, I thought it was an error because they say the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits, even though there are nine virtues. It says the fruit of the Spirit. So the reason it's the fruit that I say the fruit of the Spirit, because they want all of these characteristics to work and flow in you. You know, plenty of people, when they read that, they say, oh, well, I done got patience. You know, I ain't got long suffering yet. But they all supposed to synchronize and work together inside of you. And guess what? For your good. God is already good. The Holy Ghost is good. Jesus is good. God knows we have to live on this earth. And he's preparing and giving us everything we need to live a righteous life. But, you know, and he used fruit, which is an analogy to show you about things growing. He's, you know, telling you, too, like a fruit. It don't become a fruit. It has to grow into a fruit. A tree don't become a tree Well, a tree is a tree. It's just a little tree, a big tree, but it don't produce fruit immediately. So the Holy Ghost know that it takes time to get all nine fruit operating in your life. But I tell you one thing, and you could believe it. If you begin to let the fruit and the Spirit lead and guide you, you're going to have peace of mind. You're going to have confidence. Your life will be so much better. And you see, it's amazing that love is listed first. And this lets us know that love is the key that unlocks the doors of every fruit and gift. You see, love for God and your fellow man will give you the peace that surpasses understanding. You see, and if you look at joy, it's rejoicing in all kinds of circumstances. Y'all know my theory about happy and joy. Happy only happens when something you want to happen happens. But joy is staying in the midst of the storm. You see, the fruit brought that the Holy Spirit and his package of the fruit had some joy in there for you. So he's trying to get you out of have that joy so you don't just be a basket case every time something happens. You know, and then we see peace. You know, peace, I want to tell you, is gentle. You know, peacefulness is gentle and serenity of the character, untroubled. Do you want peace in your life? Do you want to be untroubled? And then we look at patience and long-suffering. And this is what I want to let y'all know. Be patient with yourself. And then be patient with others, some of whom may not be easy to get along with as God has been with you. Be patient like that with everybody. And you see, kindness towards others is a sign that you are dependable. Hallelujah. And it's a sign that you belong to God when you're kind. Because that's an attribute of God. He said, take on the image of my son. Jesus is kind. Kindness. Goodness. It should be good to people. How good is God to you? How good was Jesus to you when he gave up his life on that cross? You see, goodness that seeks the aids of others is your reasonable service. Are you good to one another? Faithfulness. And the faithfulness and dependability is one relationship with God and others because God is faithful. What are you faithful in? Last week I told you guys, I said, I want to let you know I'm faithful, but I'm not perfect. And this is the thing that God showed me. You know, I might be faithful, I'm just saying, in some areas. And there are many more areas I could be faithful in. But the things that God has told you, the things that you have believed, the things of God that you have received, I ask you tonight if you're faithful in them. I'm not talking about being faithful in things you haven't achieved at this time or you haven't received at this time, but are you faithful with what you know to be true? Can somebody look at you and say you're faithful? God's will, because you see, gentleness and meekness, which is the last two, is accepting God's will, and it gives you the ability to keep oneself in check and under control in any circumstances. The world tell you to be meek, you're weak. But meekness is strength by the power of God under control. If this evil world, that little boy, that young man who shot that boy, the rapper boy, I don't know his name. You see, if he had a little meekness and he had some gentleness about him, just because him and the man had the argument, he could have checked himself. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost is doing inside of us with these nine virtues, the fruit of the Spirit. And the more you cooperate in, the more they operate in your life. So I just want to let you know, allow the Holy Spirit to take up residence in you totally, because he came with the package that contain the fruit, and they're there for you, and every believer have them. And you ought to know people is cooperating, is not cooperating, because they have better Christians than others. They have people who do more service than others. But everybody got the same nine fruit, which everything is not for everybody to do. But what are you doing, and what have you done for God lately? And how have you allowed the Holy Spirit to have control in your life? And since God's goal for all his children is for us to be like Christ, the Holy Spirit is constantly working to rid our lives of the acts of our sinful nature. Because the sinful nature ain't going nowhere, like I said tonight. Your flesh is going to be your flesh. It's going to do the same to you that they do to the unsaved people. You see, the fruit is there for you. Therefore, the presence of the fruit of the Spirit is evidence that our character is becoming more like Christ and others. Title of our lesson tonight, y'all. Others will know who you belong to. And that's our lesson for tonight. I have a caller that has pressed a button, and it's been a while, so I'll see if it's an error. But if anybody would like to say anything tonight, press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 33395.
Good afternoon, Minister Adams. Yes, good afternoon, Minister Adams. How are you?
I'm fine, darling.
Hello? Yes, I just called to encourage
you. Yes, we can hear you.
This is Evangelist Norma Chapman. I just called to encourage you to keep on spreading the word of God. I enjoyed the lesson on tonight about the fruit of the Spirit. And those listeners out there, take heed to what God has said to us on tonight. Let us live the life that God has given us to live. Let us go out and share our love, and let's have patience with one another. God bless you on tonight, Minister Adams, and continue spreading the word of God.
Thank you so much, Evangelist Chapman, my sister in Christ, my Bible study partner. And she also have a show since it's 9:30, and I don't want to keep you guys too long. When we start the program next week, I'm going to give you the information for her show. And she's also the author of a book about domestic violence. So I'll have all of that for you guys next week. And Evangelist Chapman, thank you for listening in tonight. And
Faith,
be blessed.
I just want to share with the listeners the title of the book is What Faith Can Do. God bless you, Minister Adam. And I pray that the Lord will bless every listener that's out there on tonight.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. If anyone else would like to say anything, anyone have a testimony, anyone would like to add any names to the prayer list, if there's no one else who would like to say anything, if you do, press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. If not, we're going to just close with my favorite benediction. And I thank each and every person that whatever part you took part in it for the lesson tonight, Sister Maddie for looking up the songs for us, and Sister Pam that had the prayer list and interceded for everybody on the list. Glory be to God, and I thank God for you guys. And thank you, Sister Evangelist Chapman, for speaking to the listeners and taking time out of your busy schedule, because I know you're a busy, busy lady. Anyone else would like to encourage, give encouragement, ask for prayer, tell a testimony? God is extending the opportunity. Well, that's our program for tonight. And if God allows it, we'll be back on next week, same time, same station. I want all of us to be prayerful for one another, and I pray that you allow the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit operate in your life, because it'll make your living not be in vain. It's the fuel that helps you to do your works and your deeds. The Holy Ghost gives the gifts, administer gifts, and you see, he takes the gift that he gives you and he works it with the fruit of the Spirit, with love being on top. You see, if you truly love somebody like God has loved you, you'll be gentle, you'll have faith, you'll be kind, you'll have goodness. Come on, y'all. People don't know how to love. God gave the greatest commandment when Jesus was asked who was the greatest of the ten. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And you need the fruit of the Spirit, because it teaches how to treat each other. So that's our lesson for tonight. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture. It's 2 Peter 3:18, and it reads, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's our lesson for tonight. Y'all be blessed and have a good night. And I wanted to give a praise report. Sister Brenda Pierre, that's on our prayer list, and she wasn't walking. Well, a day she walked. So I wanted to give you that. And Sister Lucas, that's on our list, they told her she had cancer, and she went for a second report, and she doesn't have it. God is truly in the blessing business, and prayer changes things. So that's it for tonight. Good night, and be blessed.